When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Inside Track, brought to you exclusively by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine. I am your host and publisher, Greg Tutwiler. I am speaking with Bill Howard, lead guitar and vocals with the band The Judy Chops. The Harrisonburg-based band, described as original mountain swing, is a high-energy, seven-piece Americana band who has enjoyed playing original tunes, remixed covers, and mashups of various different kinds of music since 2008. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how's it going, Greg?
Good. Thanks for joining us here on the podcast today. Tell me a little bit about the Judy Chops, how you guys got together, how long you've been together.
Well, for this band, it's been 7 years or so. But as a group of musicians, we've known each other for, I think I first met the girls in the band, the Murphy Sisters and Jess Bird. I was playing in another band around town, and they would come and see that band play, and we all would, go back and have jam sessions after shows and whatnot. And I remember even saying to Molly way back then, this was probably, 13 years ago or so, that, one day we'll have a band. I just know it. I think the first incarnation of that happened. They were in Charlottesville. Sally Murphy lived in Charlottesville and had started a band called the Bourbon Specials.
Mm-hmm.
And Molly was in that band as well. And I was in another band with Jess, our drummer, called Heart Gets Monkey here mm-hmm. on this side of town. And the Bourbon Specials guitar player left the band, and so they needed somebody to fill in. And they're like, well, Bill's really good. He could probably fill in, on the fly. So I came in and ended up being a part of that band. And when both of those bands kind of started petering out, we decided, let's take the best members and favorite members out of all these bands and just put them together.
Okay.
So we basically just melded those two groups, and that was the Judy Chops.
So the two names that you just mentioned, those band names, don't quite lend itself, at least in name wise, to what you guys are playing today. How did you arrive at original mountain swing and the sound that you guys have from where all of you guys came from originally?
Well, we definitely started playing more, I guess. The one band was playing a little more, but I was almost playing more folk rock and blues and things like that. And then the other group was doing more Americana, but more in that end of Old Crow Medicine Show
mm-hmm.
and kind of more acoustic, string band type music.
Mm-hmm.
And but we started having, each of us would have a little influence come in. Like I think Sally probably started bringing us a little more Western swing music, and we really kind of started falling in love with that, like Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys type sound.
Mm-hmm.
And when we sat down to do our first recording, we wanted to get a violin, and so and I guess the first change really was me going over to electric guitar. We had Molly on acoustic, and then there was no other lead instrument, so I was like, well, wanted to do something a little more. Punch or whatever.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I started moving over onto that, and then the next thing was, we should, add a fiddle for some tunes. And we contacted our friend Anna, who was playing with Jim Wade and the Young Divorcees over in Charlottesville, and she came in and sat in on a few tunes on our album and kind of fell in love with the band. And so she was living in Harrisonburg going to school, and so she joined us and added another lovely lady to the group. And she and I both were really into that gypsy swing, Django Reinhardt type stuff.
Right.
And I think that was really, you know, those two influences really started pushing us more towards, you know, what we kind of ended up doing. And it's hard to describe exactly, but I mean, it is definitely like a melding of some swing and rockabilly and blues, and then still with a kind of a nod to, and the girls definitely have a lot of family in the old time music scene.
Okay.
So we definitely still have those roots going on. So I think Mountain Swing is about the best that we could come up with to encapsulate it.
Sure. Okay. And you guys put a lot of emphasis on harmonies, right? And
absolutely.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about that. How that fits in with what you guys do.
Well, you know, I when I met Molly and Sally, I was in a band with my cousin, and him and I sang, you know, a lot of harmonies together, and we're always harmonizing and doing those type of things. And when I met the Murphy sisters, they were basically the same exact way. You know, they'd grown in a musical family, and just their mom and dad are both musicians, and they can all just sing so well. You
sure.
know? And there's something with family in particular that just, like,
yeah.
the harmonies are so pure and so, you know, just natural. And so I think when we met each other, you know, I was able to kind of fall right in with them. I don't know for what reason, and it's, you know, we certainly consider each other family now, so maybe that's it. just family from other sources.
When you guys are putting together your original tunes, do you write them in with the harmonies in mind, as in trying to incorporate the harmonies into the songwriting itself, or do you bring that in?
Sometimes that's the case, you know, where you'll kind of, like, Molly and I wrote a song for this last album called Ball and Chain, and it was really Molly's, mostly her song. I kind of helped steer it more towards the musical direction of being like a doo-wop song, and so definitely, you know, with that one, of course, you know, there's so much, like, you know, emphasis on those, like, oohs and ahs and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely took into account that one. But honestly, most of our arranging, like, Molly, Sally, and I do the songwriting.
Okay.
And so when we first started, there was just a lot of back catalog from other bands. So a lot of the songs that we brought in were things that I did with other bands, or, you know, Sally had done with Suburban Specials. And then as we kind of started developing more in terms of the band, I think we started writing more in that regard. But we honestly, once we write a song, we generally just bring it to the band and start working on the arrangements from there. And Molly and Sally do a lot of the vocal arrangements. And Molly actually does most of the musical arranging, too. She'll be kind of the one that's, if there's something a little wonky, she'll she'll be the one that aims it in, figures out the chord stuff. It's a pretty good partnership, all in all.
when you guys do cover songs, or you said remixed covers and mashups, what kind of stuff are you pulling in when you do that?
Well, the you know, we try to cover some traditional stuff. Obviously, a lot of Western swing. I come from a blues kind of. That was kind of how I learned to play guitar, was even playing old blues tunes, and so I try to bring in some of that stuff, and all of the stuff is, you know, very vocally charged, you know, obviously because we're all singers, but so the mashups, those kind of, that's where we kind of get weird, I guess. we try to, it started when we were playing, you know, primarily in bars, and where you're, you know, when you're the group that's playing old swing tunes and, you know, old honky-tonk numbers, sometimes that goes over and sometimes you start losing people.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We the first one that we did was this hip-hop thing that we just, you know, stuff that we knew from growing up and listening to popular radio and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But we did it kind of, you know, more in our, you know, in our style and things like that. And it's funny how people would just, you know, if you're losing an audience, they'd perk right up, you know, as soon as you start playing something that they know.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of how we now, I mean, we've got a bunch of different ones. We've got some more traditional ones where they're just like a bunch of Western swing songs that we've kind of, you know, arranged to so that they basically sound like one big number.
Mm-hmm.
We've done some, like, hip hop and some like pop radio stuff, and they even do one that's more like Tainted Love and
okay.
that 80s kind of sound or whatever. So it's a good way for us to kind of, I don't know, be able to show some of our weirder influences that don't necessarily come through in the music,
yeah.
and then, you know, but still stay true to what we're doing.
Yeah, okay.
Now, and they end up being the fun. You know, we now use them. We pull them out, you know, at the right time.
So strategically.
Bring the house down or, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Something like that.
Yeah. Typically, you see a string band, Americana band, 4 or 5 piece. You guys have got seven folks in the band. Is it? Do you find that a little harder to manage? You guys meld really well?
Yeah, it's certainly hard. And, you know, what ends up happening a lot of the times because of that is, you know, we always have five. You know, there's a core of 5 members that have been with the band for a long time. And then we add when we can. Now that Anna, our violinist, she lives in D.C. and teaches up there. So we don't get her as much as we used to. But she does usually make the bigger shows. Like, she'll be at Red Wing and some of the festivals and things like that we do. And then same with our horns. Like, horns are very hard to always have the same guy. So we tend to kind of use a number of different people for that. So we've actually had as many as probably 9 on stage playing as the Judy Chops before. But, we generally, for the bigger shows, we try to have the violin and at least one horn player. So
Okay.
It gets a little hairy once you're trying to, like, you know, hire people in and get them rehearsed and,
sure.
and things
yeah.
like that. We've now that we've kind of done it for a while, we've got, you know, kind of a few musicians in our back pocket.
Okay.
So we have a short list, especially of horns.
Yeah, okay. So what's a typical a season look like for you guys? Are you on the road a lot? Are you on the road for a length of time and then come home? You guys have other things that you do in between?
We definitely work most, you know, we're kind of weekend warriors to an extent. We definitely basically play, you know, every Friday, Saturday, Sunday through the summer. And then we usually tour a couple of times during the summer. You know, we'll go out for a week or two and then kind of hit up, you know, either new spots that we wanted to, you know, go and start doing things, or we'll go back and, you know, see friends and family. And that's a lot of how our tour is been, is just being, you know, having this really big extended network. Since you do have some possible people in the band,
sure. Okay.
You just start saying, like, where do we know people? Okay, we're heading that way. having some shows. And it's been good. We played this summer. It's probably a little slower for us than some, but not necessarily. We're trying to get a new van and kind of door up some things on that so that we can tour a little farther out, and then we'll be hitting it hard again after that.
what's the farthest that you guys travel out right now?
We went to Vermont as far as like heading north, so it's probably that far north we've been. We went to Chicago. We got some friends out that way, and then we get down towards like North Carolina, Tennessee is about as far south as we've been so far. But
sure.
We want to expand. That's kind of where we're heading, is a little more south, a little more west.
Okay.
We have friends now in those, you know, areas that we haven't seen in a while, and we go north a lot. The girls are actually from upstate New York. So,
okay.
We tend to go north a lot because they have a lot of fans and, you know, friends and whatnot up that way.
Yeah. So, okay.
We head up there a lot, and then a lot around Virginia, a lot of just hitting the states right around. We'll be in North Carolina quite a bit this year, too, so we're looking forward to that.
Do you have a particular type of venue or gig that you guys enjoy playing more than another?
We've really gotten into this, like, theater. We love theater venues.
Yeah.
You know, like, we really love, you know, showmanship, and we actually do a lot of these burlesque and cabaret type shows.
Okay.
So we'll be the band that plays for the girls or like the acts or whatever. And sometimes that means we're playing our songs, or we're playing like old swing, you know, standards and things like that.
Right. Okay.
And sometimes you're just literally just playing, you know, kind of interpretively, you know. and that's all that stuff has been something that we've really, really latched onto. And actually, that world has also been reciprocated. And now we're getting shows where we're being asked to play for four girls, you know, in their act.
Okay.
And so we get to this, Memorial Day, we're going to be in Asheville, North Carolina for the Americana Burlesque and Sideshow Festival.
Hmm.
So it's like, it's kind of a, I mean, it covers a lot of different areas, a lot of burlesque, a lot of like classic sideshows. So you'll have, you know, fire eaters and, you know,
And
tumblers and things like that.
Yeah.
And we've really latched onto that world, and we've kind of, I mean, some of our material kind of lends it that way. I think it has that kind of gypsy, circusy vibe to a lot of our stuff.
Yeah.
So we're really starting to love that type of venue, so because then we can put on those kind of bigger productions. So
kind of
looking to do that a little more. We've been doing a lot here in Harrisonburg at Court Square Theater with a local group called Gull Hand Productions.
Hmm.
And a friend of mine, I ran into her at a meeting. We had both approached the Arts Council about maybe trying to do a burlesque show in Harrisonburg, which was a dicey maneuver. but you know, we did it, and people really loved it and got behind it. So we've been doing you know, two a year at least after the past couple of years, and selling out the theater. People seem to really enjoy it. Yeah,
That's interesting. So I've got to ask, the name the Judy Chops, where did that come from?
Well, if you Google the Judy Chops, or even if you leave just the S off and say the Judy Chop, you'll find this guy named Diamond Dave, and he is a Diamond Dave. But we always joke he's going to come after us. He's a ninja instructor, and he's a kind of a hillbilly of sorts. And so his whole act is that he, you know, you got your karate chop and your ninja chop and your Judy chop.
Okay.
And we just thought that was such. And the Judy chop was his kind of like signature move.
Okay.
And he's been on like Jerry Springer and all this stuff. So When we first met, you know, we were like kind of forming the band and changing directions from the other groups. We needed a name really quick, and that kind of ended up being the one. And then, you know, as it's gone on, we've really let it take a identity of its own. You know, we started doing kind of more swinging, choppy music. So that was the first like relevant. We're like, oh, well, that kind of works. You know, maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
And then after that, I think the next real thing that we latched onto was Judy. Because people always ask, since we have, you know, three girls at least in the band at all times, one of you is Judy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Or they just assume that Molly hears you things a lot. She's Judy. So we end up putting a girl on all of our covers, and we use girls in our artwork, and we, you know, it's kind of been... We now talk about Judy as a person.
Okay.
We're going to do this for Judy today. You know, where does Judy have us heading next? You know,
that's funny. Like that, so. Okay, cool. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the current CD that you've got out.
Well, we just put out last summer, it was in June, we put out Minor Sunshine. And it was kind of a long project that we had been working on for a few years. We had a couple years in between recordings. But writing the material, and then we actually won studio time at the first Red Wing Roots Music Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And given away some studio time for like people that had gotten voted the best local roots band on that stage. And we ended up winning that contest. And we got... also a microphone package from Police Bow Microphone Miles, which was really, really great. And we went ahead and kind of worked on this recording with them, and ended up doing a full-length album. I don't really want to say that it's a concept album per se, other than that we did kind of come up with the idea to make these songs that were, you know, minor key, but they... not work necessarily sad. It's kind of a gray area, a little bit of mm-hmm. dark light. And some of the, you know, some of the stuff that we talk about on the album is pretty, like, heavy, too. I mean, there's a song about the Green River Killer out in Seattle. We've read, you know, read a book about that, you know, about mm-hmm. that. I ended up with a song kind of based on that. And some of the themes are, you know, kind of sad and down. And it all kind of stems out of the title track, Minor Sunshine. We a song of Sally's kind of leads us into a minor key version of You Are My Sunshine.
Mm, okay.
And we did that the first time we were at a jam at Nathan Moore's house, folks here up in Stanton.
Mm-hmm.
And we were the game that night was we decided we were going to play happy songs in minor key and try to mm-hmm. do that. And the first one that we thought of was You Are My Sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
And that just ended up sticking in our set, and that's what we started calling it. It was like, okay, it's time for Minor Sunshine. And so I guess the whole arc of the album basically like started from that little jam.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then a lot of the songs just kind of like went from there, and a couple that we wrote, you know, closer to the recording. One we actually wrote, you know, during the recording, which was the doo-wop song I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great, and it basically starts minor, and by the end, it's all in major keys. So
mm-hmm.
That's
okay.
Kind of the idea, like minor and then sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fun album, and we've been really fortunate to work with the guys over at Blues Rocket Sound. They've been a good job.
Yeah, they're awesome.
And it looks like they're going to be doing our next round of recording.
Okay, great. Yeah, we've got a story with them in this current issue coming up, so that's great.
Yeah, they're great dudes, and they really, you know, I've known Chris Jackson for a long time, and so working with him was just easy, and he totally understood. Anytime you go into a session and you go like, okay, well, I'm thinking something kind of along the lines of Squirrel Nut Zippers, and the guys know exactly who you're talking about.
Sure, so yeah.
Scratching your head.
Yeah.
I knew that we were working with the right guy.
Yeah, that's cool. So where can folks find your music?
Well, we definitely have it all over, you know, the typical online outlets. You can get it at CD Baby, iTunes, all those, Amazon, all that kind of stuff. Or you can also go to our website, which is thejudychops.com. All one word.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a link there to be able to order a physical copy of the CD. You can also do that at CD Baby as well as like download and whatnot.
Okay.
And then any of our links are on the website too, to any of the other kind of outlets.
Yeah.
All the social media and all that stuff.
Okay. Cool. Well, thanks, Bill. I appreciate it. This has been great spending some time with you and hearing about what you guys are up to. And we certainly wish you guys the best and look forward to catch you in a show here soon.
Thanks so much, Kate. And thanks for all the hard work that you guys do.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Inside Track. We sure do appreciate you sticking around. Join us again real soon when we get together with another great artist and talking about their music. Have a great day.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.